The literary world has a new kid on the block in the form of MOLI. That is the Museum of Literature Ireland. It's situated on Stephen's Green, where Newman House and UCD is, and it's a collaboration between UCD and the National Library of Ireland. MOLI is a place for readers, writers, exhibitions, nature and food lovers. Kay Sheehy went along for a sneak preview walk around with director Simon O'Connor. The soundtrack here is provided by Alan Gilson in specially commissioned film on Ulysses with Lisa Lam singing and Paul Durkin narrating.
Once in the dead day.
The name MOLI is—it's an abbreviation for the Museum of Literature Ireland. It was interesting. We felt that it was important that the name described what, you know, what it was doing on the tin, but also that it had an openness to it, and that it was something that people could, you know, take ownership of. And it is, of course, a reference to Molly Bloom, I think, because Joyce is at the heart of everything that we're doing in here. He's kind of the inspiration for all of it.
Into our dream.
So we're standing in this first exhibition room, which is, I suppose, a constellation of Irish writers published in the 20th century. Huge amount of different writers, and every 4 or 5 months we pull a writer from this display and then do a special focused exhibition on them in here, in a room that's called the Ivy Room. So our first temporary exhibition that we're opening with is on Kate O'Brien, who was a student here in Newman House in 1919, an internationally best-selling author in the mid-20th century, but also an author who was banned in Ireland for quite some time and in a way fell out of the canons. All of our temporary exhibitions in this room will be curated by living artists. There's a philosophy within the museum to combine the living creative community with the subject matter from the past, to make it a living, breathing, creative space. So this exhibition on Kate is curated by Cathy Rose O'Brien, who's a well-known actress and also happens to be Kate O'Brien's grandniece. Cathy, coming from the theatre, has maybe unsurprisingly created a stage set of Kate's life. So you step actually into the floor of a bullring. There's a school desk with the types of books that Kate would have been studying as a child during her convent education. There's a Spanish cafe table set where you can rummage through different things and discover more about her writing as well. So with these exhibitions, I suppose we're trying to bring as much of the artist who's curating into it as possible as well. So we're standing in the ground floor of the old UCD exam hall, and this first installation that visitors will see is called A River Run of Language. So we're taking River Run, the first word of Finnegan's Wake, as a jumping off point to present Irish writing from mythology to the present day in this 12 metre long projected river of text. As visitors stand under these sound lanterns, they trigger audio recordings of living writers reading these works. So we can go now and we can listen to Roddy Doyle reading a wonderful short passage from Joyce's Ulysses.
"But it's no use," says he, "force, hatred, history, all that. That's not life for men and women, insult and hatred. And everybody knows that it's the very opposite of that that is really life." "What?" says Alf. "Love," says Bloom.
We're standing now in the garden of Newman House, and this is the only historic house garden that's going to be fully publicly accessible. And for us, we felt it was, I suppose, very important that we turned this into a really beautiful garden that the public could enjoy, something that would really excite all of the senses. So a lot of the planting schemes that we've installed here focus on things like scent, on colour. The garden will change scent regularly. It will change colour all the time. We've installed these wonderful reading benches inside native Irish yew hedging, which over the next year will kind of become bigger and create these little reading rooms within the garden. And there's a beautiful statue by the sculptor Bob Quinn in the garden of a young Jesuit priest who's a bit cheeky looking now. He's put his rosary beads behind his back and he's stopped reading his prayer book and he's tilting his head so he can listen to the birds in the garden of Newman House. Maeve Binchy wrote about this garden in Circle of Friends, and we're actually installing a wonderful plaque on the gate at the back of the gardens, which opens into the Ivy Garden. A plaque with the line from Circle of Friends about here. It says, it was peaceful there and unfamiliar, not like every other square inch of Dublin. Down in our courtyard, we have a wonderful cafe, the Commons Cafe, which is run by Dominie and Peaches Kemp. So that opens out into the garden. So during the summertime and the warmer months, or, you know, we're Irish, maybe in the cold, people can sit outside under this beautiful 200-year-old Killarney strawberry tree and enjoy a coffee in the peace and quiet of Molly. So at the core of the partnership between UCD and the National Library on this project is the display of these amazing Joycean treasures from the library's collections. Very fortunate that Catherine McSharry is here to speak a little about them.
So we're standing here on the second floor of the Museum of Literature Ireland, Molly, and what we're looking at is probably one of the library's greatest treasures. It is copy number one of Ulysses. So that's the very, very first copy of the very first edition of Joyce's novel, published on his birthday, the 2nd of February, 1922. And on that date, he took this copy and he inscribed it to his patron, Harriet Shaw Weaver, who had supported him in so many ways. And then 30 years later, she gave it to the National Library, where it's been kept very safe ever since. And one of the things that we're delighted about is the number of people now who will be able to see this remarkable book. It's a very hefty looking book, this first edition of Ulysses. It's in the blue of the Greek flag. Joyce really wanted it to be that colour because Ulysses is linked to the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, that ancient Greek text. And so he put a lot of effort and energy into how this book would physically look.
"The sun shines for you," he said, "the day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Hoathead."
In this really quite large display case on the top floor, we have what are, I suppose, the treasures from the National Library's Joyce collections, beginning with the very first pamphlet that Joyce produced as a student here in UCD when he was turned down by the student magazine and he stormed off across the green to self-publish The Day of the Rabblement with his friend Francis Skeffington. But we track Joyce's publishing history, and I think most importantly in this display case we have examples of his Ulysses notebooks. And he wrote on, you know, any old scrap of paper and copybook he could get his hand on. And by showing these notebooks open, and you get to see, you know, just how bad his handwriting is sometimes, you know, how complex his editing process is, it's really to demystify the writing process and say to visitors, look, you know, this isn't something that's very romantic. This is hard graft. This is complex, and you have to stick at it. And then to go hand in hand with that, we have in the same room this wonderful collection of interviews on audio points with living writers talking about their own writing processes. So people like Paula Meehan, Roddy Doyle, Nuala Ní Gunnell, Éilis Ní Guíomhna, Deirdre Ní Griafa, an amazing selection of writers writing in both languages, talking about how they face the blank page, the kind of rooms that they write in. And then they've given little prompts for our visitors as well to help them start their own writing processes. My favourite is Anne Enright's current motto, which is, "Shut up and write." As well as her interview on this floor, Paula Meehan has also made a really beautiful recording of her poem, The Pattern.
"Her steel needles sparked and clacked, the only other sound, a settling coal, or her sporadic mutter at a hard part in the pattern. She favoured sensible shades, moss green, mustard, beige. I dreamt a robe of a colour so pure, it became a word."
Oh,
Beautiful stuff indeed. And Molly is how we say the acronym for the Museum of Literature Ireland. Molly's Malone and Bloom being the hint there, Sean. And we heard Molly director Simon O'Connor and Catherine McSharry of the National Library and in our guides in that report from Kay Sheehy. There were also contributions from Paula Meehan and Roddy Doyle and extracts from Alan Gilson's film, Ulysses. Molly opens to the public on Saturday, September the 21st. There will be an entry fee, but there are concessions on Tuesday mornings and the first Friday evening of every month is free entry. So you can find out full details on Molly, spelt MOLI, Museum of Literature Ireland, MOLI.ie.